This morning, we are leaning hard on the Lord. I had some thoughts come to me this week, and the Lord may use those thoughts another time, but it is very encouraging sometimes when the Lord just all of a sudden takes some of those scriptures and just turns them. So on the way to service, the Lord was changing it and giving me different verses, and even just before prayer gave me another one. So I'm going to desire prayer that the Lord will help me to be able to understand exactly what the Lord wants to do. We want to begin in the book of Ezekiel, and I want to give just a little foundation and background of the book of Ezekiel, something that I really didn't know myself until I studied it. And Ezekiel was a priest and he was a prophet. But he was a prophet and a priest at a special time. And it was during the 70-year captivity. Everything that Ezekiel has recorded in the book of Ezekiel is either by prophetic vision or literal visions that he was given by the Lord. And so when you read the book of Ezekiel, if you should study it out, keep that in your mind. I never knew or understood that Ezekiel was actually, his life was taken by his own people because they resented all of the prophecies that had to do with judgment. So, when you're reading Ezekiel, think about that all that he put in there was for some future time. In other words, he was right in the midst of the 70-year, at the beginning of the 70-year captivity. Now, the children of Israel were taken into captivity as part of the judgments against them because they were falling away from the truth of God, the commandments of God. And so God gave them a space of time to repent, and they didn't follow the Lord, and therefore God brought this judgment. But God still had a people. He still had people that were worshiping him in spirit and in truth at that time. So the word, the name Ezekiel, has a special meaning. It is the strength of the Lord, or God's strength. And a key scripture or portions in the book of Ezekiel is, I am Jehovah. So all that he prophesied, it had to do with bringing the children of Israel back to God. God proving who he was. Many places in there it will say that they might know that I am God, or I am the Lord. So that was part of the meaning of that particular book of Ezekiel. As we just give some early phrases of the early chapters of Ezekiel, Ezekiel received a call to the house of Israel. And this is what the Lord said. Thou art not sent to a people of a strange or unfamiliar speech. He knew their speech. He knew their language. He was of them. He was their people. They were his people. He was Israel. But it says, He did not send him to a people whose words could not be understood. In other words, God knew that what he was going to give to Ezekiel, that the people understood that language and those words. First part there, it says that Ezekiel went and sat with the people and was silent for 7 days. He just sat there. He was part of them. He knew exactly what they were going through. He was experiencing the same thing. He said, at the end of that time, the word of the Lord said unto him, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, he had many places that he warned the people, but he was also a prophet that wanted to inspire them that at the end of this time, they would return to their home and they would rebuild the temple. So there's a mixture of messages in the book of Ezekiel. But remember that this was mainly through visions and prophetic visions and did not happen in his lifetime. I want to say this about the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets are very valuable to us today. I would not want to be without it. When you study them out, when you understand the prophecies and the fulfillment of the prophecies, whether it be as he did here to the children of Israel in their return to Jerusalem, there are bits and pieces in there that you and I can gain something for in our age. So the Old Testament truly is a shadow of the fulfillment of the New Testament. One of the things that I felt in all of this, in the vision that was given to Ezekiel, it caused me to think about the New Testament church. Even though this was for the children of Israel, for the people at that time and during the captivity, I can still get a vision out of it that might be applied to us today. And I think that the Lord wants to open some things up to us. It won't be possibly in this message today, but there is much that can be learned from the book of Ezekiel and the visions that he had. So our burden this morning is in the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. I desire the Lord to help me. I feel very inadequate to express what I have on my heart this morning, and I need the Spirit of the Lord to give us right words. It says, afterward he brought me to the gate and looked toward the east. Now, in the previous chapters up to here, he's been given a vision of the temple. He's been shown the measurements, the outer court, the inner court. All of that is in the previous chapters to this chapter. And it says, and behold, the glory of God of Israel came, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Verse 3, it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw. Skipping down to 4, and the glory of the Lord came into the house. And verse 5, and the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 6, I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. Verse 7, he said, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile. Now, it goes on there and speaks of the whoredoms and the carcasses of the kings and in their high places. And God was very displeased with what Israel, the route, the direction that they took, and how that they had idol worship, and they came to a place that judgment had to be pronounced upon them. Verse 9, now let them put away their whoredoms and their carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. And so verse 10 is really my burden. It says, thou son of man, shew the house of the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. This was a precious verse to me, inspired of how that we can show the house to the house. That's what his vision was. He had the pattern. He had the visions of the house. And now he's being commanded to show that house and all that God is wanting them to do with that house, in that house. See, the temple was destroyed. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed where God let his holy presence dwell. The people knew this. The people understood. They understood from even leaving Egypt that God's very holy presence was going to be with them. It went before them through a pillar of fire, through a cloud. It followed them. It went to protect them, to enlighten them, to let them have the confidence that God was God. Remember, that's one of the main key scriptures, is he is Jehovah. It was telling the people that he is God, and you reverence God, you follow God. God is important to all of us. So he's saying now, I want you to show this house to the house. We might say, well, what all is there to learn about the house? What is the house today? What does this represent? The house today would be the church of God. And it would be through the preached word that we learn the standards of holiness. We learn the laws. Are there still laws that we are to obey? Certainly, God will always have laws for you and me to understand and to obey. He has ordinances. But it goes on now in verse 11, and it says, if they be ashamed of all they have done, I want you to show them the form of the house. I want you to show them the fashion and the goings out and the comings in and all of the forms thereof and all of the ordinances and all of the forms thereof and all of the laws thereof, and write it in their sight that they may keep the whole form thereof and all of the ordinances thereof, and to do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit there round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. I believe the Lord is saying to us that he still has a house. He still has a church. He still has in this age. And he's wanting the generations now to be fully informed, if you will, of what the form of this house is and the fashion. It would take probably more than just one setting to go through all of these things, but I want us to get a picture of what Ezekiel is trying to say to the children of Israel that were in captivity. He's got the vision. He has the measurements. He has the plan. And he wants them to have hope that the glory of the Lord will come back and dwell among them, in the midst of them, at the end of this captivity. So now we want to connect this one with Ezra. Now, Ezekiel was in the midst of the captivity and died during the captivity. But Ezra is at a time when the children of Israel are coming back and returning to Jerusalem. So let's turn to Ezra, and we'll see the fulfillment of their time. Chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 8 through 13. Now it's in the second year of their coming unto the house of God of Jerusalem. Verse 8, skipping down to the latter part. And all they that were come out of the captivity into Jerusalem, from 20 years old upward, to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Now that was for the Levites. Think about how many died in captivity and how many were born in captivity. And there were those that experienced the captivity who had been maybe old enough to remember what it was like before. So these Levites had to be 25 and above, I believe, and they were born in captivity. So they had not experienced this temple that God had dwelled in. They had not experienced the glory of the Lord. It was all new to them. Okay, let's go on reading now. Verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets and the Levites with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Verse 11. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all of the people shouted with a great shout. And when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. This was the prophecy of Ezekiel. He wanted it to, wanted them to understand the ordinances of the Lord. He wanted them to have a vision of what it would be to have the glory of the Lord back in the presence of the people. And then verse 12, but many of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. You have a mixture of people here. You have those that remembered the first house, the first temple, the presence of the holy God, the glory, they experienced those things. They tasted it. And yet most of these people had not even witnessed any of that in their whole life. They only heard about it. Ezekiel prophesied of these things, told them the kind of God that they were serving. And yet when it came down to it and the foundation of the house was laid, there was a mixture. There was weeping and there was shouting. So it says, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So now you have the prophecy, and you have the fulfillment. Now I want to go to Joel. And I want to look chapter 2, 11 through 17. And it says, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" So we have a little introduction of a thought here of the coming of the Lord, of the return. That was what they were looking forward to when they would rebuild this temple, and the glory of the Lord would then fill that temple again. And another generation, one generation remembered the first, and the second, the other generations were looking forward to it, were anticipating the glory of the Lord. And in this particular little passage here, it is mentioning something that would cause you and me to think of the great day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. So verse 12 says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord," the Lord says this, "Turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments." One of the translations says it like this, "Turn while there is time, come brokenhearted." And it says, "Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and have a blessing behind him?" Verse 15, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children." Verse 17, "Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach." And then it ends with, "Where is thy God?" Those would be saying, "Where is thy God?" Well, we have another little picture here of a weeping between the altar. I believe it has to do with our vision now of what we see, how we believe, how we feel in this age. The Church of God is the only true church in the earth. We have mottos, you might say, that it will say, the Church of God, where salvation makes you a member. We don't have a book that we write the names down. We don't count the people that are in the service. We don't publicize how many we think are members of the Church of God. But the Church of God is different from any other organization on the face of the earth. It has, God is the governor, or has the government on his shoulders. We need to be reminded. We need to have a great joy of his holy presence and his glory when it comes down, to remember it for the next generation. We need to be reminded as we go for the next generation that what the church of God is, what the house of the Lord is. We need to show the house to the house. We need to, let's go on with some other scriptures. We have a number of scriptures that I'm not sure how much we can really get through. We've just really been inspired by it. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and look at 16 and 17. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths." So if you're here this morning, and maybe of the older generation, and you remember it from the Church of God and the order of the Church of God, if you remember those things from your youth and from your childhood, which I do, I had the privilege of being born to always know the Church of God. I have not forgotten the camp meetings, and I haven't forgotten the preached word of that time, and I haven't forgotten the glory and the answers to prayer and the shouting and the praising. I haven't forgotten the testimonies of the healings, and so I'm looking, I'm standing in the ways now, and maybe the younger generation can only read about those things and maybe hear someone that is older to testify of the glory of God in the former years. But we're standing in the paths, and we're seeing forward, and we're seeing backward, and we're needing to have that cry of having seen the first glory, but the shout of seeing and passing it on to this generation. Yeah. Thank the Lord. So we have to do something. We have to ask for the old paths. You see, we're in a world right now that there's many different ways, and there's many ways that seem right. There's many ways other religions have their ways. We may drive by their places and see their parking lots full, and we may feel like, well, what is wrong with us if we don't have more than what we have? We need a vision of what the Lord is saying will be in the last days. But the glory is still there. That's what we want to remember and look for and ask for and allow it to be in this day, that the glory will still be there. Where we ask for the old paths, we say, where is the good way? And then it says, walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. In verse 17, he says, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. I would like to ask, and you don't have to answer, have you heard a message in your day on the sound of the trumpet? We heard messages when we were growing up on this subject, listening for the sound of the trumpet, listening to the warnings. Maybe it was a different age. Maybe it was a different time. But I believe that the trumpet is still blowing today. Yes. I believe that God is still sending forth his word among his people. He wants it to go out into the whole earth. But I want to tell you, we have to heed the trumpet sound. He says, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But you know what they said in here? They said, we won't hearken to it. What happens when we don't hearken unto it? You know what happens? You lose it. that the Lord eventually lifts that burden. I am thinking of, and I just want to mention a few of these because I want us to end this message this morning on a positive note. But when I was young and growing up, there were many, many messages on worldliness. We often heard on modest dress. We were instructed. We knew. When I gave up the Lord for a number of years and went out, took my own way, when I came back, because of the teachings that I had come up under, I knew what the standard was. I understood it. I had not rejected it, even though I had gone out into the world. But it was still being preached. Those things were still being taught. I'm thinking that I have even said down through the years, a number of years ago, I preached many messages naming out worldly entertainments. I even have said, if I have a bandwagon, it would be to warn the people against worldly entertainment. And this congregation has heard me say that many times. But the thought came to me, when was the last time you named it? When did you cry out and sound the trumpet against movies, against videos? I had to say, Lord, it has been a while. I am afraid we are in an age that the people did not hearken unto the trumpet sound. That's just one thing. When people refuse to accept the warning, the cry, the trumpet sound, we are approaching the end of time. While there is time, we need to be searching, begging the Lord, reveal yourself unto me. God has a way of not giving the messages if the people are rejecting it. Yes. What I hear now a lot of times is people will talk about watching a movie or watching a video, and it'll be, but it was a good one. There wasn't anything wrong with it. Oh, there might have been one or two bad words in it. Have you ever heard those kind of things said? I have. But the cry went out. The cry went out against it. It was the trumpet that was sounded. It was trying to teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane. And down through the years, that's been God's plan, to teach the people the difference, to awaken them, to cause them to see that they can be, they can take on a form of godliness and still take on their own way. I'm just mentioning the movies and the videos, but it goes far beyond that. God is calling for you and me to be holy. He said that was the law of the house, was holiness. The law has of God has specific ways, just as he built the house with certain measurements and certain materials, and it was all to be done a certain way. He is still doing this today. He's still wanting you and me to be awake, awakened to the fact that the enemy is trying to pollute the body of Christ in the earth. I know that all probably sounds very negative, but I believe the Lord is wanting us to cry out and spare not. He says in one place that if you and I withhold, that's why I think the scripture says he wants the priest to be weeping between the altar and being concerned, carrying a burden for the souls right among us, that we understand, oh, it's much easier to preach messages that are encouraging messages. But I want us to be encouraged that even with warning messages, we should say the Lord is doing it to show us and to awaken us. So this was part of our burden this week. Standing in the ways, asking for the old paths. But I want to turn just a little bit now and give you the other side that I see in the Church of God. Let's turn to Obadiah. And we're going to do the first chapter, verse 17. It says, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. What a verse. In the last several weeks, we've had a burden on deliverance. So, you know, if you and I find we have come up short, what do we do? Give up? No, we don't give up. The Spirit of the Lord is still working among us. The Spirit of the Lord is still bringing deliverance. But where is it? It's up on Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? Mount Zion is the Church of God. It is the house of God. And it's the house that is showing the house, Mount Zion. So Mount Zion, in Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Whatever we find that we have failed in or let go or fallen back in any way, there's still deliverance, thank the Lord. And there shall be holiness. Holiness is the law of this house. And you and I must seek for holiness. Because he said, I am holy. You be holy. You be like I am. See holiness as beautiful, as attractive. He says in another way, make attractive the way. It is through holiness that you and I will be able to be a light in this world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. The Lord is desiring his people to possess their possessions. What does that mean? Well, that means that you and I can possess all that he has for us. He said to the children of Israel as he was leading them out of Egypt and taking them to the land of Canaan. And he said it was a place that was filled with milk and honey, and it was a wonderful place. And he said that everywhere they set their foot, yes, they could claim that land. Yes. That's what he's wanting today in the Church of God. He wants us to be strong in the power of his might and to go forward and to not be intimidated and to not be hindered by anything that the enemy would try to put in our path and the temptations that he would try to draw us away. Deliverance is in Zion. So I want to go to Isaiah now and see another picture of the church of God. Isaiah 33. And we'll look at 33, and we're going to look at 17 and 20 and 21. It says, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far off. Let's skip down to verse 20. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem. This is not a literal Jerusalem. Jerusalem. This is that city that is coming down from God out of heaven. It's a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken away. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. There the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. What does that mean? We're not going to be able to row this boat. We're not going to be able to order the works of God in this wonderful Mount Zion that we're talking about. Look upon her. It's a city that is a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. The stakes, what are the stakes? It's the covenants that have been made with God and he has made with his people. It's the standards of holiness. We cannot diminish the standards of holiness in this time. We cannot be affected by the world. We cannot be living close to the world and dressing in the fashions of the world and taking part in the things of the world and expect God to be over the kingdom here, the glorious church of God here. Oh, I want to tell you, you cannot live close to the world and have the blessing of the Lord ruling and reigning in your life. And if you want to be in this place of broad rivers and streams, and God is ordering the goings forth and the coming in and all of these things that he gave the vision to Ezekiel. So I want to turn now to Isaiah 1 and 26. He says, I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Do we need judges? Do we need counselors? I believe we do. It was all the way through the Old Testament. The judges helped the people. They gave them the vision. They didn't lose their vision as long as there were judges that were being ordered of God and the counselors. At the beginning, it says, afterward, thou shalt be called, what? The city of righteousness, the faithful city. We need judgment. We need counselors. We need to be able to sound the trumpet and give the warnings, and we need to be able to identify what is clean and unclean and what is holy and what is profane. And that was the commandment of the priest, to be able to awaken the people to their needs. They won't be deceived. They won't be going along and thinking they're right and they'll be wrong. But we want to be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now our final scripture we're going to have over in Psalms, the 4th chapter. And we're going to be looking at No, it's 48, I'm sorry. 48 and 11 through 13. And it says, let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. You know, there's a scripture that speaks about those that want to eat their own food and wear their own clothes, but just be called by his name. Yes. That's a place of deception. And in the end, the judgment will catch us. We find also the parable of the five wise and the five foolish. Somebody let something slip away, and they were caught in the end. So here it is saying, let the daughters of Zion, of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Let us not resist or reject or neglect the sounds of the trumpet in this place that is ordered of God. So it says, walk about Mount Zion and go about her and tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well the bulwarks and consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. Oh, this is so important. It is so important that we, that the church, as we have a vision, that it is passed to the next generation, that it not be polluted, that it not be mixed with anything else, no idol worship, no, none of those, things that caused God to bring a judgment upon them and sent them into captivity. But he wanted his glory to return. He wanted the temple to be built exactly as he ordered it to be so. He wanted the people to know his presence again. And those that were old enough to remember the first house, the glory of the first house, they wept. But those that were born after that time, they shouted. Oh, for the next generation to be as happy and glorious in the same things that was done the first time. The things that were preached years ago, let's not say, well, that was just the old fogies or the old ones. Let's say, I want to know. I want to know what God, how he's going to judge in the end of all of this. So I want to be part of that city of righteousness, the faithful city. We have a song in our book that's number 26. And it says, glorious things are spoken of thee. You know, God just still has a glorious church of God. Glorious things are spoken of thee, thou city of God, thou home of the free. Fair as the morning, clear as the sun, great army with banners conquering one. I still believe the church of God is a conquering church. I believe that God has a people in the earth. I believe that he is still the governor of the church. The government is still on his shoulders. I still believe that he is guiding the church. He is still sending the messages that you and I need to make heaven. I believe it. I'm trusting that God is still God. Glorious things I cannot declare are found in thy courts so wondrously fair. Those who remain within thee shall rest, O Zion of God, thou home of the blessed. So what do you see? What did you see? What do you remember? you remember and compare it to be a little bit different? I believe God is still able to help the church of God to be a church in the earth, a body of Christ, and that his power is still the same. Thank the Lord. May the Lord help us that we will think on these things and pray for the church. I believe God is desiring for us to pray for the church in the earth as we approach the end of time. Pray for me.